Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone. We're so glad you're here for worship. As we focus today on Luke chapter 15, you may want to keep your Bibles open to that, or your bulletin open to that scripture, so that we might be able to study God's word together. One of the great adventure stories of all time is described by Thor Heyerdahl in his book, Kon-Tiki. Has anyone ever read the book, Kon-Tiki? It's a book that was written in 1947 after Heyerdahl and five other men decided to take a raft from the coast of South America. They were doing this because they believed that the Polynesian Islands could well have been discovered by people from South America well before Columbus discovered America. And so Heyerdahl and his men went to the coast of Peru, and there they built this large raft and laced it together with rope, and the six men got on the raft, and the current and the wind began to take them westward toward what they hoped would be the Polynesian Islands when they arrived. It was quite an adventure. It was a trip of 4,300 miles across the ocean. It took 101 days. But one of the things that happened during that trip was that one of the crew, a man named Herman, lost his balance on the raft and fell into the ocean. One thing they discovered was that if anything went overboard, it was difficult to retrieve it because the currents and the winds and the waves would make it difficult to get back to whatever had dropped off. That was true for this man named Herman. They tried to get back to him. They tried to throw a life preserver to him, but it kept being blown back to them by the wind. And it was very difficult for them to rescue him. Finally, one of the other men on the raft, a man named Newt, decided to take the life preserver himself. He put his arm through the life preserver, jumped into the ocean, and swam toward Herman, reached him, and together they held on to the life preserver and finally were able to get back to the raft as both of them were paddling with their feet to get back to the raft. That image of Herman thrashing helplessly in a rolling ocean is a picture of utter helplessness, of lostness. The crew on board weren't at all sure they would be able to save him. He was very close to drowning, but he did make it back on board. They did arrive in Polynesia. They did substantiate the theory that maybe South Americans discovered those islands many, many years ago. But I want you to keep in mind that vision of Herman thrashing wildly, trying to swim, trying to keep himself up above the water as he made his way back toward the raft. That helplessness, that danger of being lost forever, is what Jesus was addressing in Luke chapter 15. So as you look at the scripture in your bulletin, if you have your Bibles, you might also look there at Luke chapter 15, because this chapter is about lost things. The entire chapter is about lost things. First, there is this description of a shepherd who loses one sheep out of a flock of 100, and he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes in search of the one lost sheep. And when that sheep is found, he puts the sheep on his shoulders and he makes his way back and he joins other people to say, "Rejoice with me, this my lost sheep has been found." Jesus then tells the story of a lost coin, of a woman who had 10 coins, lost one of those, and in fact, the Greek word for that coin is drachma, and the drachma represented an entire day's wages. Therefore, it represented a lot of value. And in those days, the houses didn't have a lot of light, not a lot of windows. So it would have been very difficult. You can see almost in your mind the woman with a lantern, a little oil lamp, using whatever light was available to try to find the lost coin. Finally, the coin is found. And as you see in Luke 15, there is great rejoicing over the found coin. In both of those cases, Jesus concludes by saying, if there is joy over a sheep that has been found or a coin that has been found, even more, much more, there will be rejoicing over one person who repents and is saved. Celebration is the theme in chapter 15, as well as lostness. Have you ever lost something and you searched for it? Has anybody ever lost anything? Raise your hand if you've ever lost anything. I think that's pretty much unanimous. I know I have. How did you feel when you were looking for what was lost? Worried. Like you're never going to find it. And then suddenly you find it. Maybe it's your keys or it's money or whatever it might be.
Maybe
a cell phone is found. And how did you feel when you found it? Really happy, right? I mean, you almost felt like throwing a party, right? You were wanting to celebrate. Jesus says, God loves to celebrate when lost people are found. When people who are far from God are brought close to Him through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If God celebrates over finding lost people, we must do the same. We must look for lost people like God looks for lost people, because that's why Jesus Christ came to earth, right? He came to earth because people were lost. That's the gospel. And the scripture assures us that that is why Jesus came to be with us. And therefore, we need to share His focus on finding lost people. So I'd like for us today, as we look at these three stories, they're just parables, but it almost feels like Jesus is speaking into every person's heart. We don't raise sheep, and it's hard for us to understand shepherding, but we can understand what a shepherd would feel when a sheep gets lost. And it's important for us to do all we can to find those who are lost. So the first thing I want us to see is that Jesus came to save people who are lost. That's why He came. Luke 19:10 tells us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why He came, to seek and to save that which was lost. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, then this morning I hope you will understand that the Lord is seeking you, looking for you, wanting to come into your life as you open your heart to Him and trust Him as God's Son, the Savior of the world. You can be found. You don't have to stay lost spiritually. The scripture is very clear that if we never let the Lord find us, if we are lost and we die in that condition, then we are lost forever. But if we will trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life, we will be spiritually found, and we will have the hope and the promise of eternal life. It's interesting to me that Jesus was speaking to an audience of lost people. So if you'll look in chapter 15 of Luke, in verses 1 and 2, you'll notice who His audience is. Now, who are they? Well, look, verse 1. The tax collectors and the sinners. That's one part of the audience. Tax collectors were despised. They made money off of their own countrymen as they collected money for Rome. And the Jewish people despised the Roman domination of their land. Tax collectors and sinners. These sinners were people who were far from God, living awful lives. But they gathered around to hear Jesus. They really wanted to hear Him. Now, verse 2 tells us who else is in the audience. Who was it?
Pharisees
and teachers of the law. Were they eager to hear Jesus and believe what He was saying?
No.
No. Notice what it says. They muttered. Have you ever muttered? that word means they're grumbling, they're whispering, they're trying to catch Jesus at something they can accuse him of. So this audience is mixed. You've got the tax collectors and sinners who are eager to hear, and you've got the Pharisees and teachers of the law who ought to hear, who ought to rejoice that tax collectors and sinners were coming to Jesus, but they were not rejoicing at all. They too were lost because they did not understand the heart of God. And therefore, we need to see this audience and realize that we are somewhere in that audience. We are kind of like them. We all, you know, we all seek to live good lives, but nobody's perfect. We're all sinners, the scripture says. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 tells us. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, I hope today that you will receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Lostness is a very, very difficult, disturbing condition, and we all need to be found by the Lord God. This picture of the Lord as a shepherd is an interesting one. Do you remember a psalm where God is portrayed as a shepherd? Psalm what? 23rd psalm. The first few words, say it with me, the Lord is my shepherd. That's who he is. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. And sometimes we're like those sheep that nibble ourselves away from the shepherd, and we get ourselves lost, and we're vulnerable. A sheep is very defenseless. You know, when colleges are choosing mascots for their school, they usually choose ferocious or strong animals like lions or bears. We went to school at Baylor University, and we're known as the Baylor Bears. You know, strong. I don't know of any school in America that has chosen as a mascot the sheep. There are rams, but sheep. Like ETSU, what is the mascot? Bucks. Buccaneers. Strong. What if they were called the ETSU sheep? Or the University of Tennessee sheep? They've been playing like sheep. So the sheep are vulnerable, and they easily get lost. And Jesus tells this story right out of first century shepherding that this sheep got lost. Now we would say, is it wise? Is it right kind of shepherding to leave 99 to go for one? What do you think? Jesus is trying to show us the heart of God here. He's not trying to say, you know, let's look at this economically. He's saying, let's look at this spiritually. He's saying, if there is one person in this world who is lost, Jesus Christ would come anyway. If there was just one, he would come and he would die on the cross so that one person could be saved. Have you been saved? Have you been found? Or are you still lost? The Lord this morning would say to you, you don't have to stay where you are. You can be saved. Just open your heart. Trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Jesus Christ came to find those who are lost. Secondly, there is joy in the heart of God when a lost person is saved. We've referred to this celebration that breaks out, but let me show you what it says. Look with me at verse 7. As we see the shepherd having found the sheep, notice the celebration. He says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. He calls all of his friends and neighbors to him in verse 6. And then in verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. More joy in heaven over one person who needs to repent. And then the coin. Look at the rejoicing, verse 9. When she found the coin, she says, rejoice with me. She called her friends and neighbors together. It was a group celebration. I have found my lost coin. And Jesus says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents And then you get into the parable of the prodigal son with verse 11. And we won't look at that parable today, but we will before too long. And once the son, this rebellious son, left his father, taking the money with him and wasted his life, he came back toward his father, and his father welcomed him back and threw a party. And notice what he said. The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. All through this chapter, there is a celebration when a person who is lost has been found. When that which has been lost. And the scripture says, every single person matters to God. So if you have become a Christian, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I don't know when that was. Maybe it was just recently, or maybe it was several years ago. But I want you to think about the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Think about that day. How old you were, what you felt. That moment when you trusted Jesus Christ, do you know what happened? Heaven broke out in celebration because of you and the decision that you made for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how important you are to God. When Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, he did so because of our sins, and because there was no other way for our sins to be forgiven than through his shed blood and his broken body on Calvary's cross. But he went there for you and for me so that we could be found. And when we trust Christ as Savior, when we allow him to be who he really is in our life, then heaven celebrates. A party breaks out because you who had been lost have been found. Praise God for the joy that God feels when lost people come to him in faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a third thing I want us to realize as we look at this chapter about lostness and found things, and that is we need to find people who are lost and far from God. We need to be looking for lost people too. Christ's mission must become our mission. He came to earth to find lost people, but he's no longer physically present with us. He's spiritually very present with us here today in these moments as we worship. Wherever you are in the presence of the Spirit of the risen Christ. But his mission to find lost people is now our mission, if we will accept it. It's still our mission whether we accept it or not. So I hope that as a church, you will be seeking to find lost people. And I hope that you will introduce them to the Savior who came to find us all and to save us all, so that all of us could join in heaven's celebration because we've been found. God is never fully satisfied until all of his people have been found and have been saved. Jesus wasn't just telling nice stories, therefore, as you can imagine. He was talking about his mission on earth, and he was talking about our mission for him as we live our life. And if he was willing to die in order to save lost people, then the least that we saved people can do is to reach out to other lost people and tell them how they too can be saved. We have a relationship with Christ, and when we have that relationship with him, we have a relationship with everybody else in the world. It is a tragedy when people are lost, when they could be found. It is a tragedy when people are headed toward hell because they haven't trusted Christ as Savior, when they could be headed toward heaven and an eternity of joy with the Father if they would just simply trust Christ. So we need to be telling them. They don't have to be in hell. They don't have to be lost. They don't have to be far from God. If they, by their faith in Jesus Christ, would draw near to the heart of God, if they would experience his salvation, they would know forever the promise of eternal life. Do you know that in your life? Have you been found? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? If you don't, then this morning I hope that you will simply open your heart to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. if you will let him come into your life as Savior and Lord. The word Savior means you believe that he died on the cross to save you and all of us from our sins. And if you will confess your sins to him and you will welcome him into your life believing in him, then he will save you and he will bring you to himself, and you will never be away from him forevermore. That must be our mission, to find lost people. A family with four children had gone with two other families and their children to Madera Canyon, which is located just a few miles south of Tucson, Arizona. They were there for a picnic and the kids were all playing. And this family's 7-year-old son got separated from the group. Everybody thought he was with somebody else, and suddenly they realized he was not with any of them. A 7-year-old boy out in the Arizona desert in the summertime is a very vulnerable person. It could be tragic quickly. After a frantic search for the boy, the family knew they needed more help. And so the authorities were called, helicopters were dispatched, people got on horseback and began to search. Everyone came out, hundreds of people searching for the little boy. They searched through the night. Finally, the next morning, the little boy was found. And everybody who had been part of that search celebrated. They rejoiced that this little boy who could have been lost forever had been found. Can you imagine the celebration his parents felt when their son had been found? That, I think, is also a picture of how God feels about us. When we get separated from him and we are lost in our sins, God is so concerned about that lostness. And he is so concerned that he even sent his only son to die on the cross that we might be found. So if you are far from God, if you're lost because you've never confessed your sins and never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then this morning, won't you do that? Won't you let the Lord find you? Won't you simply, in a moment when we pray, confess your sins to God? Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And let him save you. Let him find you. And draw you close to him, now and forever. Would you pray with me? And as you pray right now, would you simply say to the Lord what you want to say? It might be that what you need to do right now is just say to the Lord, Father, forgive me of my sins. I am so sorry for the way I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I trust you as my Savior and my Lord. I give my life to you. I will live for you as long as I live on this earth, and I will live with you forever as we experience the joy of your salvation. If that's a prayer that you need to pray right now, would you pray that? And it might be that you're already a Christian, but maybe you need to grow in your faith.